Mishto Ayudedit Hervey, Rabbi Tzvi Zilber.
Always exciting to start again the Torah from the beginning, after Simchas Torah, start again from Bereishis. Always a new opportunity, a new beginning. Very hard to know what to talk about in Parshas Bereishis. There's so much going on in the one Parshas Bereishis, and everything that happens there has major ramifications. Everything is on a big scale in Parshas Bereishis. The Parshas spans about 1,500 years. Parshas Bereishis alone covers from Bria's Olam till Noach has his children, which is roughly 1,500 years. Parshas Noach covers about 500 years. The rest of the Torah altogether covers less than 500 years. So Parshas Bereishis alone, there's a lot going on. A very short point about from the Ramban's Hakdome. The Ramban is a very famous, very interesting, important Hakdome to the Torah.
Because Noach was born before Adam was Nifta.
Yeah, but Noach has his children already at the end of the parsha. He was 600 when he had 500 when he had his children. Yeah, yeah.
It's like 500 years.
He had his children when he was 500, no, 480, yeah, yeah. So he goes till then. One line from the very famous Hakdome, Vainsing Hakdome, if one has time, very well worth going through the Hakdome of the Ramban. The Ramban, at the end of the day, is the most important after Rashi. After Rashi Alatera, the Ramban is definitely accepted as the most important Pirush Alatera, the most basic Pirush Alatera, Rashi Ramban. And Ramban writes like this, fascinating language, especially knowing that the Rishonim was so careful on each word they wrote, there are no exaggerations and no, you know, blowing things out of proportion. He writes like this, V'nafshi yoidas ma'oid, I know very well, my soul knows very well, yedi brura, with absolute clarity, she'ein beitzas hanemolo, that the egg of an ant, the egg of an ant, ant, tiny, keneged galgal ha'elyoina, compared to the outer space, an egg of an ant, which is one of the smallest things you can get, compared to outer space, is not as small as my wisdom is small compared keneged sisri Torah, which means like this: put on one side of the scale the egg of an ant, put on the other side the whole outer space. Bit of a difference in size, yeah, to say the least. The difference in size between those two is less than the difference in size between my wisdom, Chochmosi Vedati, compared to the depth of every pasuk of Torah. Says the Ramban, if you compare my wisdom, the Ramban, to the wisdom of what actually lies in every pasuk, my understanding to what actually is there, is a big difference than the difference between an egg of an ant to the whole outer space. How many eggs of an ant can you fit into this room alone? Yeah, how many eggs of an ant can you fit into the whole of Manchester and the whole world? It's endless. Says the Ramban that the Chochmah of the Torah, the depth of the Torah, is bigger than that. Rashi himself writes in this week's parasha that he always sticks to the basic pshat. This is Rashi's famous way of explaining the pasuk. Rashi in this week's parasha, in Perei Gimel Pasuk Ches, says it in length. I stick to the very basic pshat. I'm not coming to bring all the medroshim, all the droshes. That's Rashi's malach. The Ramban does go deeper usually. Okay, let's start at the beginning. Bereishis Bor Elikim. At the beginning, Hashem created Shemaim. Es Hashemaim v'Saoritz. The Torah starts with a base and a famous medrash where the Aleph complained. Why does the Torah not start with Aleph? And there's many pshatim on that. The Ari HaKadosh says that base is Bria. Creation as we know it, started here in this pasuk. But there is something before creation. There is something, not before, there is something above that, above the physical world. There is something before the physical world. And that is the Aleph. The Aleph stands for what the Balei Mekuvalim called Atzilus. Atzilus is always a word for Kabbalah, for Soid. So that is the deeper purpose of the world. The base is the Bria, the way we see it. That's the creation, but there is something deeper, something within that, something which is the purpose of it all, and that's the deeper purpose of this world, to serve Hashem. If we start with creation of Adam Arishon, that happened on the sixth day, Perek Beis, Pasuk Zayin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man. In a certain sense, that was a climax of all creation. So if a person does the right thing, he's considered the climax and the purpose for what everything was prepared beforehand. In a certain sense, if he's not up to it, then he was at the end of creation. He's like, the end of creation, up to the person to choose. But either way, man was created from Adamo. Vayitzar Hashem Elikim es Adam. Ofor min ha-Adamo. A man was created from Adamo. And it's well known that one of the reasons why Adam is called Adam, why man is called Adam, is because of this Adamo. Adam is Meloshen Adamo, he was created from earth. And the question is, why is this so important? Why is this fact that he was created from earth so important to be called Adam? For that, others say Adam stands for Adame, Lo Elyon, a person can compare himself and get similar to Hashem, but Pashat Pshat is Adam is Adama. Why is that point so important? And I once heard a very interesting Pshat that what is earth? What does earth produce? What does earth produce? Fruit, grass. Earth produces what you put in it. But what you do with it, that's what it produces. If you put thorns in, it'll grow thorns. If you put nothing in, it'll also grow thorns. If you put seeds in, it'll grow plants and trees. A person has within him the potential to grow, to produce whatever he is aiming for. Where a person wants to get to, he has that power like earth, and that's why it's called Adam after this Adama, to keep reminding us a person is like Adama. Adama produces what you put in it. What you want, the care you take of it, that's how it'll produce. The better care, the better produce. A person is the same, the more he works on himself, the more he tries to get somewhere with himself, he'll get there. Just like the Adama, the Chofetz Chaim says that the only thing in creation that wasn't created complete, everything was created complete, fully grown, fully done, as Rashi tells us, became awesome, became awesome. The only thing that wasn't created complete is Adam. Because after his body was created, Hashem still had to blow into him a neshama. Why is that? Says the Chofetz Chaim, to teach us the power of man, that a person has the power to uplift all physical things. He can take a body and blow into it, a neshama, blow into it life, uplift it, make it holy, use it for mitzvahs. Nothing else in the creation has this power. Everything was created as it is and it stayed as it is. Man is the only creation who has the power to change things, to uplift things, to blow into objects alive, to make it holy, to give it a chiyus, to give it a holiness, and that's why he was created like that. If we go a bit further, we come to Shabbos. On the seventh day, we come to Shabbos. There's a very interesting Chazal, which the Taz and Hichas Shabbos brings. Chazal tell us the power of keeping Shabbos, and they say that even someone who served Avodah Zarah, like Enosh, even someone who went so far as to serve Avodah Zarah, if he keeps Shabbos properly, he will have a kapara, he will have a forgiveness. And the Taz is trying to explain why is Shabbos kapara for Avodah Zarah, why do Chazal pick and choose Avodah Zarah like Enosh. And I'd like to say one of the pshatim I saw, what indeed was Enosh's Avera? What indeed was Enosh? Who was Enosh? So Enosh is actually in this week's parasha, later on in the parasha, Perek Dalet, Pasuk Chavov. We find that the first time people started the serving of a desire, moving away from serving Hashem, was in the time of Enosh. Enosh was the grandson of Adam Rishon. Enosh was the son of Sheth. Sheth was the third son, late born late in time, of Adam Rishon. Sheth gamu yomei v'ikshmei Enosh. Oz huchal likroi, says Rashi Chulin. Then he became cheap and he became not popular, likroi b'shem Hashem, to still keep calling upon Hashem. Which means people started moving away from the service of Hashem, and Rashi says they started moving towards Avodah Zarah. Now the Rambam tells us what actually the Avodah Zarah was. And in fact, it's very hard to believe that a grandson of Adam Rishon, enemy Adam Rishon was still around, he was around for a long time, Adam Rishon, 930 years. So he was, and Adam Rishon was created by Hashem himself. Very hard to believe that a grandson of Adam Rishon, not long after the world was created, and everyone is still around, would start serving God, but it's not believing in Hashem. What's that meant to mean? I mean, they were still around when they saw, when they knew Hashem did it all. So what exactly was the Avodah Zorah they served? Says the Rambam, it wasn't just that they didn't believe in Hashem. Absolutely not. They did believe in Hashem. They always come up and chose not to. They had to. It was obvious. They believed in Hashem, says the Rambam, in the beginning of Hilchas Avodah Zorah. What happened was that the connection between people and Hashem got severed. And Rambam explains that because they understood the greatness of Hashem, because they knew how great and mighty and powerful and clever and everything Hashem is, they felt that no way can we connect to Him. We are too little and too simple. We are mere human beings, bas of Adam, here one day and another day, the next day not. How can we connect to Hashem? There must be a middle way. There must be a middle point through which we connect to Hashem. And they believed that the stars, the moon, the sun, the alpha, whatever it was, certain powers which they felt have big powers. They saw the sun, what the sun can produce and all that. And they knew Hashem created the sun. There's no doubt about that. But they felt they are going to serve those powers who will then help them with Hashem's power. Of course, those powers are the middlemen, so they're not middlemen, but the middle ones between Hashem and them, because they felt unworthy of connecting and speaking, davening directly to Hashem. That's how the Rambam explains what happened by the Renish. The Rambam adds that after a few generations, they forgot that and they stuck to the sun. They forgot that the sun was just meant to be the middleman between them and Hashem, and they stuck to the sun and the moon. That's how proper Avodah Zorah developed. But in those days, in Shase's time, who was just a grandson of Adam Arishan, no way would they deny Hashem. They believed in Hashem, they just felt they couldn't have this connection. They have to go through other powers. That's how the Rambam puts down the David Zohar of Dor Enosh. Now, Shabbos, this week's parashah, by Chul Hashemayim Va'aretz, we were given the matana, this present of Shabbos. Shabbos is a tremendous connection between Yidden and Hashem. Why is that? Because imagine the king and the queen are having a private party, the birthday, the queen's birthday, let's say, and they're having a private party, and just some citizen walks in, gets in somehow, and takes himself a chair and sits down by the table and, you know, joins the party. It would be a tremendous zilzul, a tremendous lack of honor for the king, the queen, and sit themselves. You don't, you know, an outsider's got nothing to do there. Shabbos is Hashem's day. Shabbos is the day Hashem rested. Who are we to say, well, since Hashem rested, we too are going to rest? Only someone who is highly connected to the kingdom has the right to do that. A simple citizen, well, because the king and the queen have a day off and they have their private party, we are going to do like them. We might want to join. If it's a public party, it's a public party. Okay, we're happy for them. But to join in with them, close to them, only someone who's close can do that. When he keeps Shabbos, he's showing a tremendous closeness to Hashem. So much so that Hashem rested, we rest. And it's taken not Yidden, not taken all out to keep Shabbos. Because only the Yidden were given this tremendous closeness, this tremendous comparison, being so close to Hashem. Therefore we understand that keeping Shabbos is a kapara for Avodah Zorah like Dor Enosh. Chazal tell us, as we started off, that keeping Shabbos is a kapara, somebody keeps Shabbos properly is a kapara, even somebody served Avodah Zorah like Dor Enosh. There's a specific comparison here. Dor Enosh felt they're too far from Hashem. Keeping Shabbos is a constant reminder, no, we are close, we are His people. When He rests, we rest. Non-Yidden are not allowed to rest. Who are they to come and say, well, Hashem rested, we're resting? You're not that close to be able to say that. You continue doing what you have to do. We are close enough to be able to say, Hashem rested, we rest. And that's why Shabbos is the opposite of the Avodah Zorah of Dor Enosh. Yeah? The Chofetz Chaim Nezakdama brings this Chazal, because Chazal, they say, Kol HaShomer Shabbos Ki Hilchosai, anyone keeps Shabbos properly, even if he serves Avodah Zorah like the Renish, he has a kapor, and the Chofetz Chaim is stressing this word Ki Hilchosai, someone keeps Shabbos properly with all its halachas. He brings that the famous Rabbi Yonasan Eibishitz in Nezakdama, that someone who doesn't learn Hilchos Shabbos, there's no chance in the world that he won't stumble and he won't forfeit. The Hilchos Shabbos is so much and so big, only someone who learns and tries to get through Hilchos Shabbos has the possibility of keeping it kilchase. Okay. I once heard Netzol from a Sfardi Shehid, he's actually nifted a few weeks ago, a few days ago, called Rav Avraham Ben David. Netzol, I knew about him a bit. Echo Shehid. And I used to hear him speak sometimes. And he said that he was once in an airport, he and his Rebbetzin was once in an airport, somewhere out in South America, I think it was somewhere. And he was very choshev looking, looked very nice beard, big person. And he says that there was once a non-Yid who came up to them and very, very like gently asked, "Can I ask you a question? Are you the chosen? Are you Jewish? Are you from the chosen people? You are the people who is at the Bible. He said who the Bible speaks about." You are the people from who all the prophets, he couldn't get enough of it, like he wanted to, couldn't get enough of it. He walked away, he came back a minute later, and he said, can I ask you another question, do you mind if I ask another question? And he said like this, he asked, when you, your people, when you walk in the street, do you think about the same simple things we people think? What goes through your mind when you're walking on an ordinary day through the streets? Are you thinking on the same simple things we think? Are you thinking about different things? He said afterwards, there was actually the girl was right. Because the Yid is meant to think, Shavisi Hashem, the next summit, the Yid is meant to live, knowing this connection he has with Hashem, was the biggest Mosad Rosh he ever got. He said afterwards that the Yid is meant to live with this connection to Hashem, not like the Rana Ishrada, like Shabbos, that we're connected and we do whatever Hashem does, we do also. We're also part of it. Everyone talks on his. On his language, they say, by Yosef Atzadik, it says, Pari had the dreams, the beginning of Parshas Miketz, and he needed an interpreter, and the Saramashkim there told him that there is someone in prison who can interpret dreams. They took Yosef out, Yosef got tremendous honor, he became the king afterwards. And the Duda Magid asks a very interesting question. The Duda Magid asks, why did the Saramashkim have to tell Paroi that it's Yosef? Why couldn't the Saramashkim do the following? He should go back into prison and he should meet up with Yosef and tell him, Yosef, I had another dream. And I dreamt seven cows, seven, all this and that and that. Please can you interpret? And then go back to Paroi and tell him the interpretation in his own name. Why did he give? So the Dovid HaMagid says like this. He says, there was once a big meeting of all officers of the king, all ministers. And at a certain moment, they came to the following point of discussion. They were trying to work out what is the most important thing in the kingdom, in the Malchus. What is the most important thing? So some people started saying money, some people started saying family, health. One person got up and he said, I think the most important thing in the kingdom is the king. Because if not for the king, who knows, Ishazareyu, Chaim, Beloy, like this, there's order and seder, people can live normally and live happily and get what they need, and they just, things run smoothly. One of the people afterwards went into a kechmer, a pub, what they call, and he asked the people there the same question, what do you think is the most important thing in life? So they all said, Per Echod, wine, Womfen, Shadeh. So he was trying to figure out what's going on. They say this, this, and the answer is very simple. It depends each person at his level. For some people, wine is the most important thing. For the ministers who are thinking on a higher level, for them, family, happiness, king, they're thinking on a higher level. Says the Duvna Magid, when Paroi had his dream, everyone explained to Paroi according to their own essence. The pasuk that says ve'ein poiser oisoi leparoi, there's no one who is thinking on a king's mind, and therefore it didn't work well with, it didn't sit well with Paroi. The only way Yosef would interpret the dream right was by knowing it is Paroi's dream. The Saramashkim had to tell him it's Paroi's dream, because if Yosef thinks it's a Saramashkim's dream, he'll interpret it in the Saramashkim's level. We have to interpret his dream on the way a king speaks. Therefore, you have to tell him it's Paroi's dream. The same thing here. Yid walks on the street. He's meant to think the way Yid thinks. Yid walks on the street. He thinks about Hashem. He thinks about Chesed Hashem. He thinks about Torah Mitzvahs, wherever he can. And that is here the point of Shabbos. Shabbos being a tremendous point of connection between Kal Yisrael and Hashem. If we move on a bit in the parasha, we come to the story of Cain and Hevel. Story of Cain and Hevel is a very hard story to know exactly what went on there. Cain's korban was not accepted, Hevel's was, Cain kills Hevel. Very hard to know. One thing is clear, there was a big argument. That's definite. In fact, we say, Yisimcha Elikim ke Ephraim u'kemenashe. We wish the children, you should be like Ephraim and Amashe. Why were Ephraim and Amashe chosen? It seems to be, Avshem Sheval Hirsch, others say, they were the first brothers in history who didn't fight, or the first famous brothers at least, who didn't fight. You go from Cain and Hevel to Yitzchak and Yishmael, to Yaakov and Esau, to Yosef and the brothers, the first generation who actually lived in peace, even though one was the big Talmid Chacham and one was the officer, the leader. There was room for conflict there. Still, they lived in peace and they were all kind of each other. So that's why we wish our children Kefram or Kemenashe. Either way, there was an argument here. And the end of the story was, just before we even get into what exactly the argument was and what the outcome was, an interesting point. Both brothers were born on the first day. First day of creation, Cain and Hevel, a major to-do. We told a lot about both of them, what happened to them, and what. Nothing stayed from either of them. Well, Hevel died before he got married, on the first day. And Cain, even though he did have descendants, each and every one of them didn't survive the Mabul. None of them survived the Mabul. The only ones who survived the Mabul, that's a very interesting thing, they're not into this point. The only ones who survived the Mabul, his wife maybe, but not from the men, was Noach, was from Sheis. The third child that Avrishon had much later, when he was 130, it's only from that child the world continues. Interesting thing. A person can set up things and he puts a lot of effort in, and we never know where exactly Yeshua will come from, where things will develop from. Cain and Hevel, actually, the Rambam brings this, that nothing stayed from them. All the children, Hevel, Zich and Ish, didn't have children, and Cain's descendants were all wiped out by the Mabul. It's only from Sheis, the third son, where, interesting point. Eishes Noach, yeah. Eishes Noach, like he was, but that's really, okay, but the Zohar, let's say, the Zohar. Yeah, the man says, Kimat, call. Chassid Sofer actually says, why Taka does the Torah tell us so much about Hevel if he didn't even survive? If he didn't leave anything at all? And Chassid Sofer says, right at the beginning of the Torah wants to tell us that the most important point is not the life on this world. Even Hevel, who had a very short life, just a few hours, the Torah is telling us about him so that we should know that the main purpose is to come to Olam Habo, and that he did. The main purpose is what happens after this world. This was a preparation for Olam Habo. And that's what the Torah is so marich about Hevel, even though nothing stayed from him. Cain, let's get to the other end a minute. Cain was punished after he killed Hevel, and Hashem told him that he deserved the punishment. He begged for kapara, and Hashem told him, okay, the tshuva was accepted. He'll only be punished after 7 generations. He'll only be punished after 7 generations. Shivasayim Yukom, Perek Dalet Pasuk Tezvov. And indeed, what happened in the end was that one of his great grandchildren, called Lemech, not to confuse, very confusing here, there's 2 Lemechs and 2 Chanoichs. There's a Lemech and a Chanoich from Cain, what we're talking about now. There's a Lemech and a Chanoich from Sheis, where Noach comes from. Alright, not to confuse it. Can get a bit confusing, the double names there. But anyway, Lemech from Cain was a 6th generation. He had a son called Tuval Cain. Lemech was blind, and his son carried him on his shoulders, and they went hunting, and they saw some movement there, and Cain shot, and Lemech shot at it, and he realized, afterwards, that it was actually his great-grandfather Cain, and that's how he killed him. He was so upset that he clapped his hands together, and he killed his son, who he was sitting on. So that was the 7th generation of Cain. Cain lived to see 7 generations. Now, when exactly did this happen? Very interesting point here. When did this happen? When in history was this story of Lemech killing Cain? Very clear like this. We are told that Lemech's two wives, separated from him after he killed his son. He went to complain to Adam HaRishon about it. Adam HaRishon went to his wives, and why are you separating? So they said, he killed people. And they told him, anyway, who are you to tell us? You yourself separated. Adam HaRishon himself had separated from his wife. Chava. So they told him off, you yourself are doing it. So Adam HaRishon took his wife back, and that is when he had Sheis. After that, he took his chava back and he had Sheis. Now, this is only Rashi. This is only Rashi, then the end of Perek Dalet. Clear Rashi's. Now, when did Adam Rishon have Sheis? Clear Pasuk, when he was 130. Yeah? So killing Cain, which was before that, was before Adam HaRishon was 130. So far so good, very clear. Lamech kills Cain, after that Adam HaRishon remarries Chav and has Sheis, which was when he was 130. This means before 130th year of the world, Cain gets killed. Now, at that moment, Cain has already got 7 generations. This is very, very unusual, because in those days, they only had the first child when they were 80, 90, or 100. 7 generations would take 1,000 years in those days. Yeah? No, it was a 10th generation of Adam, and it was 1,000 years later. 7 generations shouldn't take 130 years. It should take much more. So Bianca Galinsky points out that a person can't get around Hashem. Hashem had decreed that Cain has to die soon. And then Hashem told him, okay, 7 generations. Fine, we'll get it. We'll squash 7 generations in 130 years, and it'll happen. But there's no way around it. Eventually will change the way things are meant to be. But his way, Atzas Hashem, he's certain it will happen. And here, Cain had 7 generations much earlier than the norm in those days, just because Hashem had decreed he has to die after 7 generations. Why did Hevel deserve to die? There's a lot of read about that. Yeah, okay, there's read about that. Why did he deserve to die?
Because he
copied Cain. Others say it was actually Cain's idea. Hevel is heaven. Oh, yes, it's a hard one. Gam Hevel, yeah, it's a hard one. Why did Hevel deserve to die? To move on a bit, other parts of the parasha, we find right after the 7 days of creation, we find that the Torah tells us about the importance and the power of tefillah. Where is that? Straight after the 7 days of creation, the beginning of Perek Beis, it says that in Perek Beis Pasuk, hey, v'chol siach hasodeh terem yeh ba'ores. The grass has not yet started growing. Why has the grass not yet started growing? Kilihim ter Hashem, because there's no rain. Why is there no rain? Because man has not yet started working. Explains Rashi, because man has not yet started davening. Says Rashi in Pasuk, hey, Kesheba Adam, when Adam came and he knew the importance of rain, he spalel alem, he davened, and it started raining. That means the Torah is telling us here, right at the beginning, the importance of tefillah, that even though rain was meant to come, because part of creation is that things should grow, as long as there's no person davening for it, as long as none yet davening for it, it won't happen. In fact, the word Adam, there's something called the milui, Oisius. Every letter in Aleph base has what's called the milui. The milui means when you take the way you write, the way you say, the full way of saying that letter. So for example, Adam is Aleph. Aleph is Aleph Lamed Pei. The word Aleph, as in the word, Aleph, is Aleph. Aleph Lamed Pei. The milui, and in this form they often talk about the milui, it has meaning to it. In the Torah, everything has meaning to it, from the simple pshat, to the deep pshat, to the gematria, to the milui of every letter. The milui of Adam. Let's take the milui of the word Adam. So the Aleph, the Dalet, and the Mem. The milui of Aleph is Lamed and Pei. The hidden part of the Aleph is the Lamed and the Pei. The Dalet, the way you write the Loshna Kodesh is Dalet, Lamed, Tof, Dalas. So the milui of Dalet is Lamed, Tof. And the last letter, Mem, the milui of Mem is Mem. Mem. Yeah, the second Mem. The milui of all that together makes the word Mispalel. Mispalel, yeah? Right? Makes the word Mispalel. That is to hint that the deeper, the hidden meaning, the deeper, the essence, which is often deep inside, hidden, the essence of man is to daven. The essence of a person is to daven, to get close to Hashem. When we daven, it's not because we have to inform Hashem what we need. He knows what we need. It's in order to get close to Him, in order to ingrain in us, that it's Him who gives us, and we need Him. And that's the purpose of davening. The Gemara Baba Kama calls Adam Amazik a Maveh. Maveh means a davener. A person is called a davener. Person who davens, and that is already told to us right at the beginning here, where Adam HaRishon was needed to daven before the grass would grow. I once saw a story of Moshe Soloveitchik that there was a yid who was told by the doctor, not such good news, that he's not good at all. And the doctors, in fact, gave up on him. And they said, nothing more we can do. And he came crying to Moshe Soloveitchik in Switzerland, and he asked him for a bocher and chizuk. And Moshe Soloveitchik told him like this, and tell him, we say, Shira Malas, Eser Eina Lehorim, Me'ayin Yovoy Ezri. The one who says, where will my help come from? Ezri Mim Hashem. And he answers himself, my help will come from Hashem. Oisei Shamayim V'oretz. The one who creates, who made Shamayim V'oretz. Now, why is that chosen? Many things we can say about Hashem without everything. Answers, helps. Why was it chosen? My help will come from Hashem who created Shemayim Va'oretz. Said Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, because Eve, what was Shemayim Va'oretz? Shemayim Va'oretz was Yesh Me'ayin, where Hashem created something out of nothing. Something which we can't even fathom. Today, as much as they can create things and do things, it's always Yesh Me'yesh. They're taking existing things and developing and going further and further with the Chochmah Hashem gave them. But to create Yesh Me'ayin, no one's ever managed. That was only by Bria Sa'ilam. Said Moshe Soloveitchik, sometimes a person has to remember that Hashem can create something from nothing. Even if the doctors give up and there's no hope of Piderech HaTeva, Hashem can change that. He can change that. Ezrim Hashem, who we have to remember, is the one who can create something out of nothing. So there might not be a physical solution to this the way we see it, but Hashem can still help and still change things. Oh, you say Shemayim Va'oretz, just like he created Shemayim Va'oretz. He said also, there's a famous story in Nach about Yeshua. Yeshua, and one of the first wars when he conquered Eretz Yisrael, it was Shabbos, and was getting close to Shabbos, and Yeshua picked up his stick and he stopped the sun. Shemesh begivon doim. Shemesh, the sun begivon, he was fighting givon doim. Should stand still, not continue moving, not continue saying Shira. Stand still for 10 hours, if I remember correctly. Very much later, it was caught up again. Says Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, the oilem, the world, is very nispol, very impressed by Yeshua's ability to be able to do that, to be able to stop the sun midway. The world is very impressed by that ability. He says, I'm impressed with something else. I'm impressed, what made Yeshua think in the first place that he could do it? What made him think that he can daven? What made him think that he has the right and the power and that it might even happen? He said, Yeshua knew there's a chance Hashem can do anything, and if he doubles with it, he might very well be helped, because I say Shemayim Va'aretz. So that is here, we see here the power of davening. That's a very interesting thing here. In Pasuk Vov, the Pasuk says, after, when Adam Rish is ready davening for rain, we would expect the Pasuk to say, the rain started coming down. But in Perek Beis, Pasuk Vov says something else. It says like this, Ve'eid yale min ha'aretz. Moisture came up from the world, from the earth, and then it rained. Rashi says it goes on Bria Sa'odom, but the passage sounds like that moisture came up from the earth into the clouds, and then it came down as rain. I once thought the following. I once thought that it's possible Rashi's hint. Maybe like something like that. The Rashi is hinting, or the Pasuk is hinting to the following. We know we just said Tfilas Geshem not long ago. Tfilas Geshem is always the example of Panosa. Panosa is always called Geshem. The Bruch of Geshem Ishmane Esre, Baruch Aleinu, is the Bruch of Panosa. And that's the Bruch we've done for rain. Rain was always considered the name of the... the Semel of Panosa. Why is all Panosa called after rain? Okay, obviously, because we need the rain. If not for rain, there's no food, there's no life, there's no nothing. I once heard from Rav Tevye Weiss, now the guy of Yerushalayim, but when we lived in Antwerp with the Rav Abbas Medrash, he said like this, that rain, there's a rain cycle. Everyone knows there's a rain cycle where the sun evaporates from the sea, goes up into the clouds, the wind blows the clouds across, and then it hits mountains, wherever it is, then it comes down, and all the leftover water goes into the streams and the rivers, back into the sea, back up. Yeah, fascinating cycle, unbelievable chokhmah aboyre in this. The fact that the sea water is so salty, no one can drink it. And here there's a system where the water evaporates without the salt. Yeah. Tremendous chokhmah, that alone, like everything else in creation, is tremendous chokhmah aboyre. And that's the rain cycle. Up, down. Evaporation goes up, rain comes down. Evaporation goes up, rain comes down. So if Tevye said like this, he does to know, all Parnassah is a cycle. All panasa is called Geshem. The book of panasa Shmanes is the book of Geshem. Why is all panasa called Geshem? Because one has to remember always that panasa is a cycle, up and down. And the up and down is Tfilah. Tfilah has to go up, and then panasa will come down. Tfilah goes up, panasa comes down. And it could be this is what the Pasuk is hinting here. Just after Perek Beis Pasuk Hey, where Rashi tells us the rain didn't come down yet because Ad Vorishin didn't daven yet. And as much as rain is meant to come, as long as Ad Vorishin hasn't davened, it won't come. The next Pasuk tells us how did the rain come? The water from below evaporated, went up, and then the rain came down. To keep reminding us this cycle, it has to be a cycle always. Tefillah has to go up, rain comes down. Just like the water goes up. So to all panasa, all chef, everything a yid wants, even if in Shemaim it's written to be given to the person, he still has to dump it. And first we'll say, we see this in this pasuk, even in Shemaim it's decreed that I deserve something, and something is meant to come, and it still needs tefillah to actually bring it down. It still needs that tefillah to bring it down. Chavetz Chaim said a moshel to a person who made a big business deal, and he called up the supplier, and he ordered a huge amount of stock, and he paid for it, and everything. But he got a bit delayed to come to the warehouse to pick up his stock. By the time he came to the warehouse, it was locked. It was after hours, it was locked already. And he calls up the supplier, all angry, says, I understand, it's my stuff, and I paid for it, and we agreed, and we arranged, and it's all mine, what's going on here? And the supplier says, could be, it's all yours, definitely. But time is a time, and you come after times, the warehouse is locked, you'll have to come tomorrow again. Says the Chavetz Chaim, sometimes, in Shemaim is decreed that each should get something. It's his, and it's his, and it's for him. But there's a gate there, and that gate needs to be opened, and there's a way of opening that gate. And in order to get into the warehouse, or the stuff to come out of the warehouse, one needs tefillah. Even when the Shemaim is decreed that will come, one still needs tefillah to daven that should come. Let's finish off with one last point about the parasha, and going to the Chetz Eitz Hadas, one of the hardest parashas to learn, to understand, to know what's going on there. But let's take one pasuk from there. The pasuk it says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Adam that if you eat from the tree, b'yoyim achol chomimenu, the day you're going to eat from that tree, mois tomus, you won't survive that day. But that day, you're going to die. And the big question is, the obvious question is, that he ate from the tree and he didn't die. Because he ate from the tree the first day of creation, the Gemara Sanhedrin tell us, and he lived 930 years. Yeah, Perek Beis Pasuk Zayin. So the Rambam says, Mois Tomus doesn't mean dying, it means a ben moris. Till then, people would never have died. Now, it was the key, people will die. The Ram, in the end of Maseches Rosh Hashanah, says, who tells you it means a day of our days? It means a day of Hashem. Yom, ke'elef shanim ve'enecho, 1,000 years in your eyes, ke'yom esmer, like one day. And Hashem says, one day, he took lived 1,000 years, as is known, 70 years he gave away to David. So David HaMelech, he lived 930 years. The Malbim says, finish with that, the Malbim says that this is referring to a ruchnizdike life. To ruchnizdike life, we know that tzaddikim, even after they are nifted, is called alive. And Rishoim, even whilst alive, they're called not alive. Because real life is connection to Hashem. Real life, purposeful life, is connection to Hashem. And Adam HaRishon here was sent out from Gan Eden. We don't know what it means to live in Gan Eden, but he lived on this world in Gan Eden, and to be sent out from there, which happened on that day, is the biggest distance possible from Hashem, and that is called Nisa. So the Malbim, the Mois Tomus of that day was a Ruchnis Dikemisa, because the biggest connection Yid has is the biggest life Yid has is connection to Hashem. The Rishon say in the we just dumbed now so many times, Zachainu L'chaim Melech Chavetz B'chaim L'man Chalekim Chaim. So one of the Rishonim on the Siddur, Rib Reb Yochel, it's one of the two Rishonim who wrote a Pirush in the Siddur, Rabbi Dram Rib Reb Yochel, he says that Zachainu L'chaim means, remember us for life, means what you call life. For Ruchnizdike life, for real life, Zachainu L'chaim Melech, a king who wants people who are called alive. Melech Chavetz B'chaim means you want people who are called alive, L'man Chal. That is life for your purpose. That is called, that is real life.